You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The Oakland Athletics, along with every other team, are getting ready to go home after a very long spring training, which is exciting for everybody. Let's talk to Jane Lee about that. I'm sure she's also very excited to go home. I'm Allison Futter. Jane, so here we are at the end of spring training, and the A's appear to have a starting rotation that they've announced. So a couple of guys snuck in there. What can you tell us about the final five?
Yeah, I think the first three, no surprise, Kendall Graveman, Sean Manaea, Jarrell Cotton, with Sonny Gray out, of course, because it's a lat injury. And then the final two ended up being Andrew Triggs and Raul Espejon out of the mix. And I don't think it was too much of a surprise, just based on the way things have been going for him recently. He really struggled his last two starts, and you know, it's that time of spring where the A's need to see results, and they weren't there for him. And I know you can only glean so much from spring training results, but when there's, you know, jobs to be won, I mean, it really does matter how these guys perform, especially in recent weeks where the lineup, you know, they're not just out there for two or three innings, but more like five or six, and Jesse just really struggled. And Triggs, it seemed all along, was the favorite to be in the rotation. The A's have been really high on him since last year. So I think it was kind of presumed all along that he would be one of the guys that won a job. And so the last spot was really between Jesse and Alcantara. And Alcantara kind of had an edge already being out of options. You know, that always helps a guy at this time of year because the A's, of course, don't want to lose him. So I honestly, the way things go, the way, you know, rosters are, you know, always changing, I wouldn't be surprised if Jesse's, you know, up maybe even in April, maybe more likely May. Of course, a lot of it depends on when Sonny's back, but I do think that his opportunity will come soon. He said, you know, he doesn't feel like he's too far off from being that guy that they can count on in the big leagues every fifth day.
Yeah, I would think that the A's, probably more than any other team, I mean, every team uses many more starters than five. Some use into the double digits. If you're having a good season, you'll use seven to eight. But I would imagine that the A's rotation could look much, much different sooner than later, probably more than we would expect from other teams. It's like 1 month into the season or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think they used more than 10 last year, more than 10 starters. And you look at the way the rotation is right now, you know, although there's a ton of talent in there, all those guys, I mean, they're still young, very much inexperienced, unproven. They're three through five starters, Cotton, Triggs, and Alcantara. Between them combined have made 16 big league starts. And then there's Manaea, who's only had, you know, a year in the big leagues. And, I mean, Graveman's still young himself. So just kind of a lot of unknowns there. And so I really wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of movement within the rotation, you know, even in the first few months.
So moving on to Alejandro Deaza, who he opted out of his contract. He wasn't going to make the team. He played really well. He's 32 years old, a veteran guy. There wasn't really room for him. So maybe sign him back. Is there a chance? I guess this is the time of the spring when guys like this kind of they opt out or they get their release and then they have showcased themselves all spring to other teams. Where do you think he's headed?
Yeah, I really wouldn't be surprised if another team picked him up and added him to their major league roster. He had a really good spring, showed you know, just how fundamentally sound he is. Really good defensively at all three outfield spots, particularly center field, where the A's were really lacking in depth. And that's why coming into camp and, you know, watching Deaza have the success that he had early on and really throughout consistently, you know, you started thinking like, okay, this could be a really good fifth outfield option for them. But the way things are shaking out, it looks like they might be leaning more toward carrying four outfielders instead of five and going with an eight-man bullpen to start the season. And that fourth outfielder was always going to be Mark Canha. And Canha's been getting time at all three spots in the outfield. His defense, I would say, is average, and he really hasn't spent that much time in center. So, you know, to watch Deaza perform the way he did, it was kind of worth asking, well, why'd they sign him in the first place if, you know, it was kind of going to play out like this? I mean, he really did everything he possibly could, you know, to make an impression and potentially make the roster. And from the sound of it, it was just kind of one of those insurance things, you know, where if Rajay Davis got hurt, you know, Diaza probably would have been the guy to have been chosen to replace him. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but you also hate to see them lose out on a guy like that who kind of did everything they hoped he would do. They do still have Jeff Decker, another non-roster guy, who could be that fifth outfielder. They haven't made a decision on that 25th roster spot, so it's basically between, you know, carrying Decker, having that extra bench guy, or going with a three-man bench, which, you know, presents problems. It's not ideal, but having eight guys in the bullpen to kind of shore up, you know, potential problems with the rotation, you know, if some of those young guys fail to eat up innings early on. So it'll be an interesting decision for them. And I'm sure even if they start the season with an eight-man bullpen, I don't foresee that lasting very long, you know, maybe a week or two as they figure things out with the rotation. But I just don't see, in Diaz's case, him coming back, just because I kind of see him looking for opportunity elsewhere and probably getting it.
Okay, moving on to a totally different topic. It looks like the A's may be the only team left in town. A lot of news surrounding what's happening on the football side. So what's the status on that? And I guess that means that Coliseum is only going to be occupied by the A's. And what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, all of a sudden, the A's are basically going to be the only team left in Oakland, which is crazy. The Warriors, of course, going to San Francisco, and the Raiders now, I mean, being approved for a move to Las Vegas. Now, their lease at the Coliseum runs for two more seasons. Now, that could be broken to kind of expedite their exit out of there, but I would have to think that the Raiders will at least be playing at the Coliseum another season, just because, you know, it's already nearly April. They do have other options for the following season. They could play where the Niners play at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. I guess they could also play down in San Diego. And there's apparently already a stadium in Vegas, not where they will be playing in the future, but somewhere where they could play temporarily. So not too sure. The A's, of course, kind of taking the judicial route and, you know, responding to this and, you know, saying we hate to see the Raiders leave Oakland, but, you know, we're also kind of focused on our own efforts right now, and we're going to keep focusing on our efforts. And, of course, the Coliseum is one of the four sites that they're considering for their own new ballpark. So, you know, if the Raiders were to break their lease and leave the Coliseum sooner than planned, maybe the Coliseum site does become more of a viable option for them. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how things shake out. But I think the most interesting part about it is that they now are the only team left there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but just how it's sort of cruelly ironic, I guess, in that Oakland is enjoying sort of a resurgence. It's booming. It's becoming a place that people are moving to, or has for a while. Just a growing, really fun, cool city. And the sports teams are leaving. I mean, it's like they're moving backwards in that way.
Yeah, and also kind of ironic that, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the, you know, the A's were trying to get out of Oakland themselves.
Yeah.
You know, trying to land in San Jose. And now, of course, it's the opposite is happening. You know, they're embracing Oakland, which, I mean, you know, at a time when you're watching other teams leave, this is as great a time of any for the A's to embrace Oakland and really kind of take ownership of the city. And I know that they're doing everything they can to do that. And I know we talked about this last week about the trading in Giants caps for A's caps thing.
Right.
I guess they had a few people come do that, at least 30, I heard, yesterday.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a lot, but it's maybe even more than I thought for one event. I mean, that was just at one event. They're kind of doing it all week. So, yeah, a lot of things happening with the A's right now, and it really all comes back to this, basically their whole slogan, which is rooted in Oakland.
Yeah, well, I hope the best for them because I really like that city. So hopefully better times are on the horizon. So we'll end this. You recently talked to Bob Melvin about the upcoming season. You did a little Q&A with him, so we're going to run that. Here is that interview.
What do you think will be your guys' biggest challenge this year?
You know what? I don't think where we look, it is what our biggest challenge may be. Obviously, our division is very good. You know, Houston's gotten better. Seattle's gotten better. Texas has been at the top of the division a couple years in a row. The Angels are always dangerous with you know, guys like Mike Trout and Albert Pujols, Cole Calhoun. So, you know, the biggest challenge may be the division, but for us, we need to really concentrate more on ourselves and what we need to do each and every day. Expect to go out and win each and every day, and I think things will take care of themselves.
What are realistic expectations?
Yeah, I'm not putting any numbers on anything. We just want to play the game in the fashion that we did a couple years ago. Play hard every game. Expect to win when we go out there. I do believe we have a chance to get better and better as the season goes along, and that was consistent with past years too. So, you know, some teams will have goals. You know, the Cubs obviously are going to say, you know, our goal is to win the World Series. Ours are more short term and look to get better and then readjust our goals as the season goes along.
Guys, for several weeks now, what have you learned about this group?
You know what? We're really impressed with not only the newer guys that have come in and the example they set and the leadership qualities they have. The vibe in the clubhouse seems to be really good. Everybody pulls for each other here. They're understanding that for us to be successful, it's going to take everybody. And I don't know that I've been from start to the point we're in right now a better spring training, and we've had a lot of good ones here.
What do you think will be the strength of the team?
Well, it's the totality of everybody contributing. You know, certainly we have a young rotation. We've had some injuries here early on that could affect us a little bit. But to have a veteran bullpen like we do, I think takes some of the pressure off the younger starters. And then our lineup is going to be deep throughout. You know, we might not dominate with two or three guys in the middle of the order, but if you have a guy like Marcus Semien and 27 home runs hitting, you know, maybe seventh in the lineup, it means you're deep and you have a chance to score in every inning.
What do you specifically like about the lineup, just top to bottom?
Yeah, you know what? We're at least to this point, we're a lot different than we were last year. We're taking more pitches with the additions of Matt Joyce and Trevor Plouffe and Rajah Davis. You know, we do have some guys it seems like that are going to have better on base percentages. That's something we need. Sometimes it's not necessarily the walks. It's also just making a pitcher work and making them throw more pitches. We've seen that this spring. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate once the season starts, but I think we're going in the right direction with that.
Do you see the lineup as being the biggest improvement from last year, or what would you say is the biggest?
Yeah, I think so, and I think, you know, we're going to have power throughout too. I mean, you know, with Ryan Healy coming off the great season that he had, looks like Yonder Alonso's got a little different approach power-wise. You know, we might not have 30, 35 guys except for maybe a Chris Davis. But we have quite a few guys have the potential to hit between 15 and 20 home runs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.